Coming up on Inside the NRL, the mouth-watering match between Souths and Broncos has arrived. Brisbane skipper Darius Boyd joins us from Red Hill. Plus, Supercoach Wayne Bennett speaks exclusively to the show. And it's time to talk State of Origin. Michael and Jamie submit their Game 1 lineups. Hello, it's great to have your company once again on Inside the NRL. And boy, what a show we have in store. South Sydney Rabbitohs hosting the Brisbane Broncos at ANZ Stadium Thursday night. The story writes itself, gents. But Michael, let's start with you. What is the vibe like with Wayne Bennett and Brisbane at the moment?
Look, if you ask the players, I think the players still love and respect Wayne Bennett, but you're talking about the club hierarchy. They do not have any good feelings towards Wayne. They haven't had for a long time. And the feeling's mutual, to be honest with you. A lot of friendships have ended as a result of what happened at Brisbane last year. Wayne Bennett hasn't spoken to everyone, threatened legal action as well after what was happened there when he was punted at the end of last year. So the feeling this Friday night, I'm telling you now, Wayne Bennett will not want to lose this game. This is a massive one for Wayne Bennett and equally for Anthony Seibold.
Yeah, for sure. But what about former player? I mean, you've been put in this situation, Jamie, before when you were at the Dragons under the then coach, Nathan Brown. How did it feel for him?
Yeah, there was always a lot of hype. I think the first game was against the Broncos was Darius's interview, so that sort of took the gloss off it. But I think as a player, he's trying to concentrate. Wayne doesn't change his routine. It'll be interesting to watch Thursday night. You know, the players aren't thinking about the coaches up there, but it's us in the media to watch that story unfold this week.
And for the fans too.
Yeah.
I'm sure the fans sit back and secretly go.
I hope there's 40 or 50,000 ANZ Stadium because yeah. I have no doubt if it was at Suncorp, Katie, they'd be packed out either way.
For sure. Michael, how did the players sort of take it when Anthony Seibold left? Is there no love lost there?
Oh, look, the South Sydney players were pretty disappointed with the way it all panned out. They stuck by Seibold and they wanted him to coach to the point where they actually went to the club themselves and said the position's untenable. Because as you remember, at one point, Anthony Seibold was supposed to keep coaching for another year. So when that became clear to the players that it can't work if he stayed, they made their feelings known. And Anthony Seibold, I think the relationship between the Brisbane players and Bennett is far stronger, let's say, than South Sydney and Seibold.
Okay, well, we'll have to wait and see on Thursday night. May the best team win. But Wayne Bennett didn't really want to fuel the fire with Anthony Seibold this week, but he did have an incredible tribute to the 300 game player Darius Boyd. Michael, you caught up with Wayne Bennett a little earlier. Let's take a listen to that incredible interview.
Well, Wayne, thanks for joining us on Inside the NRL. Now, Darius Boyd plays his 300th game on Thursday night. When did you become close, would you say?
Oh, I suppose 2009 when we both went to the Dragons together. He wanted to come with me and he did that. He didn't want to come with me initially. The Broncos didn't want him. He was told by them he looked for another club. And when he came back out of the change room that day, I remember it like it was yesterday. He was in the gym, actually, and he walked in and he had tears in his eyes and he said, "They don't want me here, coach." He said, "What am I going to do?" I said, "You're coming with me." And that was it.
Wayne, last year, given what was going on at the Broncos, how much did you lean on Darius for support?
It was getting a bit worked over by people around the place who were trying to distance themselves from me, but, you know, the relationship was too strong for anyone to pull us apart. And we were both keener with each other when we had to be, and I knew I always had his support. That was never a question. That was never. As I said, there might have been a few people around him trying to distract him and convince him that, you know, that shouldn't be the case, but that never happened with him.
He was in a difficult situation, the club captain.
Of course he was in it, and they made it more difficult for him, okay, because they tried to influence him and my relationship with him. So I didn't do the reverse, okay. I understood the politics that were going on, and he's a young man, he didn't understand the politics, he'd never seen it before. So I just made sure he stayed strong and he remained captain of the club, and he was captain for everybody in the club, not just for the coach.
Did you have to tell him, "Don't worry about me"?
Absolutely, yeah.
Do you remember what he said to you the day you told him you were leaving Brisbane, you weren't going to be coaching him?
Yeah, he said, "I'm pleased, coach." He said, because he said, "You'll be able to get on and be the coach you want to be." He said, "There's just been too much drama here." He said, "And we're probably all better off with you going." I said, "I know that, mate." I said, "No one knows that better than me." But I said, I had to play this out till the end. I said, I had to a lot of people here to do that, that I was committed to, coaches and players. I said, so that's all good.
Up against the Broncos, mate. Excited about facing the old mates?
Yeah, can't wait.
Now, Wayne, let me take you back to 2009, that press conference at Cogra. When you first saw that, What was going through your head when you saw what happened?
I couldn't believe what a mob of sooks the media were. I've been dealing with that stuff for a long time, so yeah, they had a bad day with him, you know. It wasn't unusual to have a bad day with Darius. They just had one. But, you know, at the time, he wasn't handling it well. He had a general dislike for what they represented and what they were. And he's that type of guy. He's black and white. There's no grey with Darius, you know. And so I remember Peter Douse ringing me up and telling me that there's a flu coming and, you know, this and that. And I've got to talk to Darius, you know. And I said, Peter, I said, I'm many things, but I said, I don't have double standards. I said, I've handled myself poorly at times with the media, you know. I said, so I cannot have that conversation with him. So I brought him in. I said, look, mate, I'm not going to chastise you for your interview today, how that was handled. I said, because I've been in that place myself. I said, you're your own man, you'll work it out. I said, but I'm not giving you any advice today.
There'll be sprinkling rain coming down in his eyes there, and he goes up and takes a leap of faith and comes down with the ball. That's terrific stuff.
He played some great football, the Dragons, you know. But, you know, that was Darius. He won the Clive Churchill Medal. Great honour. He had a magnificent game. But he was, had a lot of teammates had magnificent games too, you know. But you don't make the choices. But he come in, I remember he came in the room and he said, I don't deserve this, coach, you know. But I said, Darius, why don't you deserve it? He said, oh, I did a few things wrong. But that was the perfectionist in him, you know. What he learned when he went to rehab was that perfection isn't obtainable. Excellence is. And that's helped him a lot. Because everything had to be, all the dots had to be in line, all the T's had to be crossed, you know. And that drove him insane because we can never reach that peak. And I just started to enjoy the Clive Churchill Medal. He deserved it. And sure, he wasn't perfect on the day, but hell, he was good.
Did it get to the point where you had to tell him, mate, you need help?
Oh, I think we both knew that he needed help. And I was always encouraging him to go to... He's always gone to a psychologist. He's always had someone there outside of me. So I always encouraged him to do that. I was making sure he was doing those visits. But it got more serious than that. And so I didn't think he was... Well, look, when he went away for 3 weeks, and you know, I remember going and seeing him in week one. It was Parramatta somewhere, and I got lost about 10 times getting there, so I remember the day very well. But you know, the first thing I walked in, he was sitting on the end of the bed, and he was pleased to see me, and I was pleased to see him. And he said to me, "No, coach," he said, "I'm not depressed." He said, "I thought I was, but I'm not." He said, "I've seen depression here." He said, "I don't have the symptoms these people have got."
Darius was quite close to Alex McKinnon from their time with the Dragons. How much did what happened to Alex affect Darius?
Well, Alex lived with him. Alex, which was great, they were very close. And Alex, you know, we're all close, there were three of us. And Alex was way mature beyond his years. And I have no doubt that he was a great help to Darius. And he was my inside informant, which Darius wouldn't know about now, but I'll tell him today. Alex kept me informed about, you know, some of the things that Darius was going through. And so that kind of gave me a bit of insight at times to his behaviour away from the things that he may struggle with and didn't. So that, on the other hand, that gave me the strength and to encourage him to continue to do what he was doing with visits to psychologists and, you know, my being there around him and continually giving him feedback.
When did you see a new Darius Boyd?
Yeah, well, when he came back to Brisbane, I think the club there, environment, helped him a lot. As well, he wanted to prove a lot of people. He should never have left he didn't leave the Broncos. They didn't want him, so the bottom line was he always wanted to be a Bronco. He never wanted to be anything else. So he was back in his environment, and the treatment that he'd got away from the game in that period of time, and when he was away for 4 or 5 months, didn't play, everything kind of refreshed him, and he came back to the Broncos. He was a different bloke, and he has been different since, and he's been... handles it and copes with a lot of situations a lot better than he did in the past.
Everyone assumes that, yeah, you told him we're packing up, we're going back to Brisbane. Is that how it actually happens? Or yeah, did he want to come with you?
No. Just told him we're going to Brisbane, mate. What are you doing? So I'm coming with you, coach. So let's get it organised. So I did. Yeah. Well, he loved Brisbane, mate. He never wanted to leave, you know, that's my point. He was a career player there and should have been, but they made another decision at the time, and that's their prerogative, so.
What's your favourite Darius Boyd moment? What will live on with you forever?
When he smiles, when I know he's happy. Yeah, we've had some bad days, okay? I remember a day at Newcastle in the gym there one day, he was so disappointed the way we played and that he was in tears sitting there talking to me. You know, nobody ever cries with you about those performances, you know, but he was in tears. He just, you know, so any day he was happy, I was happy because I knew he was in a better place, and they're my favourite moments.
Well, don't you just love how honest and open, I guess, Wayne Bennett was, Michael? Fantastic interview. I think fans would really admire how much he spoke and how well he spoke about Darius. Was there anything he said that sort of took you by surprise?
Oh, look, we all knew how close they were, to be honest with you. It's just heartwarming to see Wayne speak like that about someone, because we don't see that side of Wayne very often. I'm sure, Jamie, you saw that side of it a bit of him when you were coached by him. But honestly, it's, yeah, Darius Boyd without Wayne Bennett wouldn't be here today playing 300 games. Look, it's the I know we talked it down there, but the influence of Wayne Bennett on Darius Boyd's career has been incredible. So, yeah, it's a credit to Darius to be able to get through what he got through, but also the influence of Wayne Bennett as well.
What about for you? I mean, even the Alex McKinnon story was really eye-opening as well. Jamie, what about for you, though, as a player playing alongside Darius? What did you see from Darius along the years?
Yeah, well, the comment about Darius smiling is always good. One of the best players I've ever played alongside of, and a really, I guess, different kind of cat to understand in terms of, you saw that interview when he was early on. He wins a comp the first year he plays in 06, and he spoke about how lucky he was to be in that team, and then goes on to now be playing 300 games after, you know, going down for a little bit while in terms of where we all thought he was going. He's the best fullback in the world at one stage in that 2010 season. So, yeah, an absolute stand-up guy, and I'm happy to be able to see him now, after going through all that, be at the top of his game and playing 300.
Massively. Well, it's a well-deserved accolade. We are joined by the man himself right now, Darius Boyd. Thanks for joining Inside the NRL.
No worries, guys. Thanks for having me.
Now, when you hear Wayne speak so highly of you, how does it make you feel?
Yeah, obviously it's very humbling. I mean, Wayne's been a big part of my life for the last 14 or so years now. And while he's not my coach anymore, we do still keep in contact. And to hear him say fond and kind words of myself, it's something that I really respect his opinion and his relationship and what he's done for me for a long time.
And we also remember that infamous interview. Now, when you hear Wayne speak so highly of you, how does it make you feel?
Yeah, obviously it's very humbling. I mean, Wayne's been a big part of my life for the last 14 or so years now. And while he's not my coach anymore, we do still keep in contact. And to hear him say fond and kind words of myself, it's something that I really respect his opinion and his relationship and what he's done for me for a long time.
And we also remember that infamous interview with the one-word answers. We can't ignore that, but I loved how he said that he wasn't going to give you any feedback from that.
it wasn't one of my fondest moments of times, but I've grown and learned a lot since then. But Wayne, at that time, he did say something pretty similar to what he just said. It was something like, I'm not going to give you any words of advice when I kind of handle some moments in the media similar way myself. But wasn't my proudest moment, but something that I've grown a lot from since.
Well, Darius, 300 games this week. What does that mean to you, mate? Is there a time where you thought you wouldn't get there?
It's a funny one, I guess. I mean, I just wanted to play one game for the Broncos. That was my goal as a kid. So, to now be where I am today, very grateful, probably the best word. But I suppose, obviously it's a great individual accolade, but I wouldn't be here without Rory Wayne as one and all my teammates in all the different clubs I've been at and played with. So something that I'll probably look back when I'm all said and done and be very, very proud of.
Dubs, you're the most senior player at the Brisbane Broncos now. You lost a lot of experience last year. What have you learned about yourself from the start of this year to now when you're under the pump, teams are jumping above you and they're seeing the vulnerability of the Broncos? What have you learned about yourself as a captain?
I've really been proud of the way I've probably just handled it this year, the start in particular. I think probably just trying to be really, really positive. I think in the past, my personality probably could get down a little bit or kick stones. But this year, I think, while things haven't been going to plan on the field and we haven't been too far away, it's a really, really young group. And I remember when I was this age or their age, early 20s, some of them even 19, that I just wanted to be in the team. And I was really happy just to be playing first grade. But we're expecting a lot more from these guys. Some of them are kids, but they're very, very talented kids. And as we've seen on the weekend, we had a great game and we just need to try and get that consistency now.
Darius, I know there's been plenty of talk in the media about your form recently and into this year. What do you read into it? Is your body 100%? Are you feeling good?
Yeah, no, my body's been real good. Apart from I hurt my knee a little bit against Canberra in the first half, which took me a little while to shake off. But apart from that, body's been really good. Obviously, as you get older, it probably doesn't bounce back as quick. So I've probably noticed that coming back to training in the early couple of days takes a bit of time to get back to, I suppose, full running and whatnot, and feeling good for the game the next week. But yeah, apart from that, I've been pretty happy with how the body's feeling. I mean, yeah, obviously to do with my form, I think. In a team that we've been up and down in performances, I'm pretty happy with most things. My defence has probably been something that's been questioned a little bit, and in particular, I think I defended really well on the weekend, and it's something that we've been trying to work at as a team in our defence. I think if we defend well as a team, we'll go a long way to winning most matches.
Darius, Wayne joked after the game on the weekend that he didn't know who was playing this week. I imagine this one's been circled on the calendar for a little while for a few guys up there. What's it like at the moment coming up against Wayne, especially for you, mate, given your relationship with him?
Yeah, I mean, it's something I've never done in NRL level, is playing against Wayne, obviously, and to be in my 300th game as well is pretty crazy how the football world works. But, I mean, I suppose for the fans and for growing the game, it's a great headline, a great spectacle that, you know, obviously the two coaches have swapped, and about even in media reports about James Roberts changing teams this week and playing for South and all the hype around it, I guess, so... I mean, it's good to grow the game. It's good for the hype around it all and that. But, I mean, I suppose in our clubhouse, and I'm pretty sure down there as well, they all just want to focus on getting the job done and winning the game. That's what we'll both be doing.
Wayne said, mate, that when he finally was told that he was moving on, you were actually, you said you were relieved. Obviously, the right decision had been made. Things had to progress the way they had. Can I ask, mate, for you, was it difficult, the situation you were in? Because obviously your allegiance is to Wayne, but also that you were the club captain, sort of the position that you were in last year.
Yeah, I didn't really look at it that way, I guess. I mean, obviously, Wayne's been my coach my whole career, and been a great friend off of the field as well. And but I did say to Wayne when it was all said and done that he was moving on, that I just think the way the media hype and the scrutiny around it, it just kind of had to happen that way. I just think we have a young team, and I just don't think the young guys would have handled the scrutiny behind Wayne possibly staying another year, and whether we won, lost, or draw each week, the pressure behind that, I just think, would have been too much for a young group. So, and I think Wayne understood that as well, and I'm sure it's worked out both well for both parties in the end.
Dubs, we have to pick our State of Origin teams, and I hate talking State of Origin so early in the year, but Skinny in the outside backs of Queenslanders. Kevy Walters, if you picked up the phone, are you available?
Nah, mate, I retired last year. like I said last year, I think it's just... There's plenty of guys coming through. I know we've lost a few, but I think there's some young guys really coming through now that can really put their hand up. Obviously, Caelan Ponga's there. Corey Oates has been playing well. You've got Dane Gago still there. And Michael Morgan even played in the centres a couple of years ago when we had a few injuries. So there's a heap of guys there that might be out of position, or sometimes even, you know, form might be down in different players or different clubs in particular. But when you've played Origin before, it's a different arena. It's a different ball game. All you have to do is do your job on the field, and I'm sure whoever the team will pick will do a good job.
Well, I wish you'd had answered my text earlier, because I picked him as my captain in the centre. So. But he'll surely be missed, because they are skinny in the backs, the Queenslanders, and he could have been in that left centre vacated by GI.
Definitely. We'll have to see if Michael Chamis mentioned Darius Boyd in your Origin team a little later in the show.
He replied to my text. I didn't.
Oh, okay. Picking and choosing now. Now, Darius, you did quickly touch on it earlier with James Roberts maybe going down to South. I have to ask, Cody Nikorima has been linked to the Warriors as well. All this hype, I mean, are two of your representative players leaving?
I mean, as far as I know, they're not. I mean, it's, you never know what to believe sometimes. The rugby league world could be pretty crazy, and and sometimes these stories come from nowhere, and other times a lot of truth behind them. So, I mean, we've had a day off today, so I haven't been around the boys or the group or anyone, but as far as I know, they're both staying.
Ooh, we'll see tomorrow if they rock up to training, hey? Now, before we let you go, we'll just ask you a couple of questions. We put it out to Instagram followers, what they wanted to ask Darius Boyd, and Peter Kay has asked you, how many seasons do you see yourself playing for before you decide to hang up the boots? Now, I know you're on until the end of 2021, so could we see you stay any longer?
I don't think so. I think 2021, that's when my contract ends, would be it for me. I'd be 34 by then, and like I said, the body's feeling good at the moment, but the way, you know, it takes to recover and takes a couple extra days as you get older, I think, in a couple of more years. I'm assuming that's going to get worse. So it'll be probably my 16th year almost in NRL. So I think that's a pretty good career I'd be happy with.
That's a pretty incredible feat, my friend. And the last question, Bailey Manfredi, what music do you listen to before a game?
Usually a bit of house or techno music, something to try and pump me up a little bit. So something that makes you feel good. And even though I don't dance, something that makes you try to, you know, get the body flying and feel like dancing a little bit.
Yeah, good choice. Do you guys agree with that?
I've walked past Darius when he's prepping for a game and it's loud. It gets him going, which is good.
Oh, awesome. Well, Darius, we do appreciate you coming on. We know this week has attracted a lot of attention, but good luck on Thursday night. May the best team win on Thursday at ANZ against the South Sydney Rabbitohs. Thanks, Darius.
Thank you. Thanks, guys.
All right. Coming up next, let's go to Zach Bailey with the latest on the player injury report.
Thanks, Katie. A few more big names will be sidelined for round 8 at least. Manly fans, you may want to tune out right now because your skipper, Daly Cherry-Evans, will miss 4 to 6 weeks after scans revealed he suffered a right syndesmosis injury. Interestingly, Origin 1 is just over 5 weeks away and DCE has been tipped to be the Maroons skipper. So Queensland and Manly fans are all hoping he makes a quick recovery. Fellow Manly teammates Arpi Korosau and George Tafua are battling calf tweaks. That's according to their coach Des Hasler. They both had ice on their calves after their match against the Raiders and will be assessed this week. The other big injury news out of that match involves Jordan Rapana. The Raiders are hopeful scan results, which are due in by Tuesday morning, show Rapana has suffered rib cartilage damage and not a broken rib. If they reveal a break, he could miss a couple of weeks of footy. Cronulla playmaker Sean Johnson could miss up to 4 weeks of footy. Scans revealed the hamstring injury he suffered against the Broncos was better than first feared. His teammate Josh Dugan also suffered a hamstring injury, although his was in the warm-up. He is hoping to be back to face the Storm. The playmaker's injury curse also struck Josh Reynolds. Initial scans revealed an MCL injury to his left knee, which will see him miss 2 to 4 weeks. The Tigers are hopeful further assessment over the next 24 hours will reveal the damage isn't as bad as first feared and he'll only miss a fortnight. The good news is Benji Marshall is set to make a timely return against the Roosters. Newcastle's Jesse Ramien left the field late against the Eels, but the Knights are confident he'll travel to face the Warriors. The centre has a minor injury to his left AC joint. And just an update on a couple of injuries out of Anzac Day last week. Jake Friend will have surgery this week on his ruptured right biceps, which will keep him out for up to 4 months. In the same game, Ben Hunt suffered a cork shoulder, but a 10-day turnaround should see him be able to play for the Dragons against the Eels. Katie, as I keep saying, hopefully you won't see me here next week. That'll mean we have an injury-free round of footy.
Forward to the day that happens. Thanks, Zach. All right, we need to talk player market. Michael, there's a few players that have been talked about this week, maybe changing clubs. Let's start with Cody Nikorima.
Yeah, Cody Nikorima, look, he's got an option in his contract for next year. He's been speaking to the Warriors and they're in a position to put an offer on the table, but they've gone back to Brisbane now and said, can we offer him a contract for this year? Now, my understanding is Brisbane given the Warriors permission to offer him a contract for this year, and this Thursday night's game against South could be Cody Nikorima's last game for the club. So there's a little bit still to happen there in terms of negotiating a deal to get out and how much the Warriors pay, but given Sean Johnson's left and the money free at the Warriors, they're not short on money, so it'll come down to whether the Broncos want to let him go now. There's interesting machinations there, given Anthony Seibold's manager, also Cody Nikorima's manager, also Stephen Kearney's manager. So if things were to happen, it'll all work out pretty quickly.
Oh, okay. All right, what about Curtis Scott? Because we did see he didn't play last round.
Yeah, look, he was dropped. I've spoken to people at the club. Look, there's whispers around that he may be unhappy. They've allayed those concerns. Put it simply, they felt like the start to the season, he hasn't been up to scratch, especially defensively, and they've given him some time there to rediscover his form. He's a young kid who pretty much, he came in first grade at a young age. He won a competition, played another grand final last year, was spoken about as an Origin contender. So Melbourne just feel, he needs some time there just to see. It's a little bit of a reality check for him. He's a very good player, Curtis Scott, and they think some time in reserve grade will do him some good.
All right, and lastly, James Roberts.
Yeah, those whispers won't go away, will they, Jamie? We know in rugby league where there's smoke, there's fire, but South's adamant, there's nothing at this stage in terms of It's James Roberts leaving Brisbane to head back to Souths, where he played a lot of junior footy. So at this stage, he's still a Bronco, but I wouldn't be surprised if things escalate in the coming weeks with James Roberts. So keep an eye on that one.
We'll make sure we keep an eye on NRL.com for all the Chiefs reports. You usually have the latest for us,
well,
don't you?
Clint Gutherson is also meeting with Parramatta. His manager's meeting with Parramatta today. So hopefully, with a little revised offer from the Eels, we may have some outcome in the coming days.
Good. That's good from you. We'll have a bit more on hit or miss with the Parramatta player contracts as well. But let's get to the State of Origin teams. It is time. We're about a month out. Jamie loves this segment. He loves to pick his team so far out from the date. June 5, State of Origin, Game 1, Suncorp Stadium. Let's start with you, Michael, your New South Wales team. Take us through it.
Yeah, look, I think there's some obvious ones there with most of the back line that was there last year. For me, Clint Gutherson's done enough to replace Tom Trbojevic there, who won't be there. I still think James Roberts has done, given what he did last year, and I think he deserves to earn his spot there. My change in the halves, Luke Keary in for James Maloney. I think they just need to start planning a little bit for the future, and there's a potential those two with Cleary will be there for a long time. Really, no, not too many other surprises when you look through. No, Jack DeBellin, obviously I replaced him there with Victor Radley. There's enough utility value in Victor there if he gets a nod. And Jordan McLeod, I've left Regan Campbell-Gill out. I just don't think his start to the year warrants selection at this point. So I've gone with Jordan McLean.
And you've gone Victor Radley over Cameron Murray. He was the other one that was sort of been in the mix who they'd have to pick between.
Yeah, I think Victor can, if there is a need to play other positions, I think he's probably more versatile than Cameron Murray, but I think Cameron Murray will play Origin at some point this year.
Okay, and what about for you? Yeah, Jamie, take us through it.
I had Cam Murray in my starting side. I think he comes in and replaces Jack DeBellin. I've got Ferguson on one wing off the back of his Turbo's not there. Jesse Ramien out in the centres, I think he's maybe come into contention on that right-hand side. He was good last week. That's going off. James Roberts did a lot last year. And then on the bench, Tevita Pengo Jr., Victor Radley, Matthew Lodge on the weekend. He was outstanding for the Broncos, really set the tone for them in that big win against the Sharks. So I think he'll be pretty close this year. Again, off the back of, I don't know if New South Wales will carry a utility player this year. And you've got guys that can play anywhere, like a Cam Murray can switch into dummy half. Cook could go into the outside back if need be. So, and Cleary Keary are my halves.
Okay, there you go.
Pangai Jr. done enough, Jamie? Or do you want to see more for the next month?
Oh, I want to see more. I want to see more consistently. I think after that Cowboys game, he put the competition on notice, and then after that, it's been a bit stop-starty. But the way Matt Lodge set the tone on the weekend, he followed and was just probably Brisbane's second-best player. So maybe Freddie looks at that and sees them as a bit of a tag team that can come on. I had Jake Trbojevic coming off the bench because I think he can expose Queensland later on in the half as he comes on with his ball playing and stuff like that. You get Cam Murray out there, fast legs, get across the ground, bit different body type. He can still get you forward, but he does a lot of defence as well. So Jake Trbojevic could come on and tear the Maroons apart.
And what about, you mentioned Cam Murray starting. Is that because, as a player, would you want to start and not sit on the bench and build up hype? And
oh, I think his form warrants it. Okay. He's been one of the best 13s in the competition. Victor Radley's probably been a victim of, you know, Jake Friend being out and being injured. He's had to go in the nine a couple of times. So Cam Murray, for me, is the form 13 of the comp.
Okay, let's talk Queensland. Let's start with you, Michael. What is your Queensland team?
Look, a lot will depend on the fitness of Daly Cherry-Evans. I'm going off the fact that he's probably going to be, well, he's there 4 to 6 weeks. So if I think he's going to be there or thereabouts. The back line, I've got Michael Morgan in the centres. I think the Munster-Cherry-Evan halves combination will be more efficient for... I think Morgan doesn't offer as much as Cherry-Evan, so I think that's the right outcome there. In the forward pack, I've gone for a few new faces. Joe Offahan-Gowie, I think, has done enough for Broncos over the first 6 weeks of the season. Matt Gillett comes back from injury, missed last year. And a few surprises on the bench. I like David Feed. I think he's a really, really good player. And I think Queensland lacking some leadership with Matt Scott coming back into that side.
Cohen Hess?
Yeah, I just destructive out wide if he gets it right.
Over Gavin Cooper?
Yeah, some fresh legs. Look, the Cowboys aren't playing well, to be fair, but I think on his day, if you ask New South Wales who they'd rather not play against, I'll tell you Cohen Hess.
There you go. Jamie?
Right. Yeah, I didn't have Hess in my side. I had pretty much the same back line. You can see Cherry Evans, if he's out, I think that Ben Hunt will go there. You've got Maguire could come in and play nine, I think, off the bench. So he's on the bench for me, off and Gary Fifita. Glasby has done enough. Jai Arrow has been fantastic for the Titans. So Napa I had up front coming back from injury. I think they'll just let him rip and tear for the first 20 pretty much in all three games and try and set the tone for them. So it's a very strong Queensland side when you look at that. I know New South Wales fans will say Michael Morgan out in the centres, but he's one of those players that puts on the maroon jersey and can play anywhere in your side and tear you apart. So, again, they'll be competitive, the Queensland side, and you look at the points that they can have, Ponga, you know, Munster, those two combining after Ponga's game on the weekend, it could be dangerous for the Blues.
Yeah.
We've both gone Ben Hunt at hooker. That's a change to what they had last year.
Well, if DCE's out, I had Maguire at hooker and Hunt at halfback. And maybe having a Milford on the bench come on and let the game soften up with six forwards, essentially. Then Hunt goes in to nine, Maguire goes off and Milford comes on.
And what about McCulloch? You'd kick him out?
I just think that Ben Hunt's your number nine. There's a lot of talk about him. And then if they don't go that way, I don't know if Andrew McCulloch would be suited to that, having Ben Hunt off the bench or at halfback. So I just went Maguire.
Queensland needed more from their hooker last year. You look back at that series, they needed more out of dummy half, and I think Ben Hunt offers that. He'll keep New South Wales on their toes regardless of whether he's playing 40 minutes at hooker or not.
Yep, all right. Well, I can't wait to get those teams back out in the week leading into game one on June 5 at Suncorp Stadium. Let's get to sweet or soured. Are you double dipping this week? You've got a sweet and a soured moment?
Yeah, I've got a sweet and soured moment this week. I'll start with the sweet. It was every club celebrating Anzac Day and Anzac Round. I was out there at the SCG on Thursday and it was just fantastic. And those last post moments, the scenes we saw down in Melbourne, but just the tension and in the air and the respect in the air of that day, absolutely sensational. And I congratulate the NRL and all the clubs that celebrated it with so much respect and really give it everything that it deserved going to those games. So lucky enough to be able to go and enjoy myself at the SCG, first time not playing or working. And these scenes down in Melbourne, I mean, the Dragons, Chemist, Roosters has been the Anzac Day clash, but this, what they do down in Melbourne is slowly getting closer to what, and the games are starting to live up to the hype as well.
Yeah, it's been fantastic what the NRL's done over really the last 10 or so years. We've built those big days into big occasions for rugby league, obviously with Anzac Day, Easter Monday, obviously the Good Friday clash. I think the game's done really well with those sort of events, so continue that into the years to come, it'll get even bigger.
Now for the double dip.
I'm going to like this, aren't I? But,
yeah, you are. Okay. Post-match conferences, someone needs to get a microphone in front of the journalists so I can hear the question, because I'm sick of coaches answering the questions or they can't hear. You don't know who's asking it. I mean, everyone in the media, we all know each other. Surely we should have a microphone there so the fans can hear the question at home, because I have to sit with my phone right up to listen to Ricky Stewart answer a question. I don't even know what the question was, and he spits out the answer. So please, someone, a microphone, so they can say who they are, where they're from, and what the question is.
Listen to Jamie's.
We have microphones there. It's a little boom mic that goes out, but obviously not enough. You just want to hear me talk.
It's not at all of them. It's only at some.
It's important. It's important. For the coaches, it's important for the fans. They want to hear what the questions are.
It is important. What also is important is our hit or miss section. Ooh, don't you like that? Question one. The Panthers picked the wrong James as captain. Hit or miss, Michael?
I'll say miss, but I don't think James Tarmow should be the sole captain, to be fair. A bloke playing 50 minutes or 50 or 60 minutes a week shouldn't be the captain of the club. Should be. I think James Maloney is the most vocal person in that team. And we see on the weekend, he was frustrated. He was telling James Tarmow how to captain. Now, obviously, Tarmow's new to the role. But James Maloney was into, I watched that closely on the weekend, he was into him every occasion. He's telling him, come on, mate, let's talk to the ref. And no better person to get in the ref's ear. And we know how powerful that can be with Cameron Smith, you know, reputation he's got of being, you know, in the referee's ear and influencing what happens in a match. Now, that James Maloney tried to do it, but here the referees were saying, you're not the captain, mate. So I think, and I asked Ivan Cleary after the game, I think you need two captains on the field. James Maloney, I'm not sure if he's disgruntled about the decision or not, but he needs to be there with James Tarmow. I don't think it's fair on him alone.
Hit or miss, Jamie?
Hit for me. No disrespect to James Tarmow. I just think you look at those situations in big games, having someone in the ear constantly all the time will probably get you a call or two down the line. And if you're hearing a guy like James Maloney, who's won two competitions, played for Australia, he's done it all, we've seen how influential Cam Smith can be in those tight moments, coming in, making sure he's just asking a question of the ref, and they start to look for it. So I think that James Maloney, those pitches on the weekend, I saw that and I texted you and said that, you know, he wanted to ask a question, he wanted to have the referee engage with him, but he can't do that. And you need someone out there constantly doing that. So maybe he needs to just be the club captain, James Tarmow, and on the field, James Maloney, because that could certainly help the Panthers, maybe with one or two calls.
Yep, for sure. All right, question two. Coaches should be punished if found guilty for lying about their team list. Before I get both your answers, let's listen to what Trent Robinson and Craig Bellamy got caught out with this week.
Processing, Robert, because you did speak about Latrell a bit of your presser yesterday, saying he'd play six, and that obviously didn't eventuate. Was that always the plan?
Yeah, it was. Just a young guy starting for the first game time on Anzac Day. I just, you know, it's obviously not something that I do.
Yeah, I know all along. I just, you know, we don't really need to exploit what we do as a club, and I don't think we go into sort of play mind games. I think it's just yeah, like I said, an internal thing in the club.
Nah, we always, I'm not, well, I didn't tell a lie yesterday, but I probably didn't tell exactly how it was going to be. So we knew, Marion was going to be in there.
Yes, Michael. So should coaches be punished for lying?
I don't think they, the NRL can introduce a rule. I don't mind gamesmanship. I just don't like lying, to be honest with you. I think when you get asked a question blatantly and you lie, then that's poor form, to be fair. But then if you don't have to give up all your information.
Is it hit or miss?
Oh, sorry, I'll move on. I think hit. Yeah, I do.
Hit.
Miss. I have no problem with the drama and theatre that surrounds Anzac Day and giving Lachie Lamb the, you know, preparation time to know that he is playing, and that's in gamesmanship. If it's an injury that we're talking about, which I know Brad Walters did an article this week on NRL.com, a fantastic read about lying about injury and manipulation and everything that comes with that, the super coach and everything, all that kind of stuff, then that's a separate thing. But for me, miss, if Trent Robinson's done that, he's just protecting Lachlan Lamb.
But I want to raise a point, and I know we've got to move on, but last year's grand final, the circus that I went on with Cooper Cronk.
We loved it.
Okay, yeah, I love the circus, but what the secrets that went in?
Feature on it.
Yeah, okay. Let me finish.
Hold on, bud. Situation with Cooper Cronk.
It was fascinating whether he was put in play or not. But what, the secret around what the injury was? Did it really matter that he had a fractured scapula or a torn rotator cuff? Like, at the end of the day, the secret's there. All we needed to know, and all Melbourne needed to know, was he had an injured shoulder.
It's a grand final.
Regardless, the rest doesn't matter. He's injured.
It's a grand final, and Melbourne shouldn't have cared.
Melbourne didn't care, which is
what's the problem?
Games around what the actual injury is.
Hold on, you had your turn. You did a feature on this for NRL.com, a fantastic piece around the whole drama went on with Cooper Cronk and that whole week, and you talked about the whole thing. Now you're saying who cares what the injury was?
I'm saying the level of secrecy in that, it doesn't make sense. Is he injured? They're going to go at him. Were they not going to go at him whether he had a fractured scapula?
They're playing for the biggest prize ever on grand final day.
I'm just saying to you, the reward for lying isn't that great.
It obviously was for grand final. They're the champions.
Are you guys done?
I don't think it matters whether they
can't
they
do a
tell
special right, piece on it on. If you're playing grand final right. day.
I don't think it matters to the end
Good
result.
Good chat, guys. Let's talk about question three. Contract speculation is affecting Parramatta's performance. Hit or miss? Let's go with you, Jamie.
Hit for me. I think this is dragging on too long on Brad Arthur's side. I think Brad Arthur, they need to make a decision, the Parramatta board, whether Brad's going to stay on, and I think he's done enough this year. And yes, I had them coming last to start the year. I thought he was under the pump with Nathan Brown. Yesterday was a flash in the pan, but the contract saga around your two biggest profile players and your coach looks like it may start to wear on that. They don't need all this extra publicity. Gutho, will you sign Mitch Moses? Brad Arthur, we're going to wait till round 16. He's shown that he's got the playing group now that he wanted. He's shown that he can put them in the right direction. They need to start getting these underway.
I'm going to say hit, but I disagree. I think that it's affecting them positively, because They don't start the year the way they have if those players aren't off contract. They're playing for their futures, and we're seeing that. Parramatta are winning. I think this has worked perfectly for Parramatta. If those players weren't off, this wouldn't be the start they had.
So how long do they wait then?
This is now. This is the time now. They have to start, obviously, finalising, and they are. Hey, these are negotiations. They're playing out publicly. But if they were playing out privately, no one would be saying anything. Parramatta did the right thing. They're coming off the wooden spoon, mate. They were diabolical last year. They should have been in the top four last year, and they were diabolical. Those players, regardless of whether they're frustrated or not, which I don't think Clint Gutherson is, they owed it to the club to continue and come out this year and perform the way they have, because they didn't earn the right to get signed in the first few weeks of the competition. They're coming off the wooden spoon. So I think Parramatta actually played this really well. I think their start to the year...
Yeah, they played it well. The question is it time now?
It is time now.
Right. So hit.
I said
good arguments from both parties. Let's calm down, please. Take a deep breath, both of you. The NRL need to change the forward pass rule, hit or miss. Let's go with you, Michael.
I don't think anything needs to be changed, miss. No rules need to be changed. You just need to pick those forward passes better. I thought this is a fair game. This is play on here. Nothing needs to change in terms of rules. You just got to pick them better. And Jamie will disagree. But I think we're seeing a lot out of dummy half not getting picked up. Now, Jamie, it's your turn to have your say.
Well, actually, congratulations to the ref to call that, because the touch judge, as we can see, is not in line. The referee called that. Forward passes have become a blight on our game. We let them go every week. There was 7 between the Roosters and Sharks a couple of weeks ago at PointsBet Stadium, and we pick it up when we want to. There's no explanation as to... There's two kinds of passes in this world. There's guys that use their whole arm. So you can tell when the ball goes forward because their arm doesn't finish coming all the way. It stops there. Then there's the guys that just flick with their wrist. So when they throw the ball, all right, my arm doesn't go like that because I use my wrist to pass. So I can throw it out of my hands backwards and it can float forwards. But every time we look at the touch judges, we've got one keeping the 10. We've got one standing in the ruck with the ball. Then they move off the ball. Then when it's a long pass, as soon as the pass is thrown, the touch judge will stop. And they always think it's forward. We need someone schooling them that there are two types of passes, what you should be looking for, because we miss the obvious ones, and they got that one in the Bulldogs. And then the ones that aren't, these beautiful passes that we see at the back, they say it's forward. Mm. It's becoming a blot in our game. 7 against Roosters and Sharks.
So what rule change helps it? Do you want to go to the video ref for
it? No, well, it's 2019. We go for the video ref for everything else. Why not have a line? We check
every. You're just saying the line doesn't make sense because you're telling me that sometimes they float forward.
I think
you're allowed to come out of the hands backwards is the rule. And if you have a line, then you have a line. But I don't get paid enough to be able to come up with all the solutions. I'm just thinking.
You just like to have your opinion.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
So, forward passes.
No worries. Let's move to champ or chump. I feel like we got enough out of that segment. This week, it's usually champ or chump, but I feel like you're both going to agree. This one's purely just champ. We've got Josh Reynolds trying to tackle on one leg. We know that he went off eventually with a knee injury.
What a legend, honestly.
He is such a club player, isn't he? Team first mentality. Look, champ or chump, what are you going to say?
Champ.
Yeah. Michael?
It should be champ or champ. I never got the chance to play with Josh Reynolds, but I hated playing against him for that reason, because I knew that for 80 minutes he was just going to keep going and...
It's rude to laugh at.
I mean, I've missed tackles like that on both legs, so well done, Josh Reynolds.
Yeah, we know. We've seen those. No, just... Sorry. Quickly, your power rankings, Jamie.
Yeah, power rankings this week, Katie. Look, the top three teams for me, I think, are the standout, Rabbitohs, Roosters and Storm. Changed positions a little bit depending on how they played. The Storm were average against the Warriors, but they have been a couple of times this year. Big drop is the Sharks. Their injury at the moment, I'm still high on them that they can make a run and make it the 8 and possibly win this competition, but they've probably been the most disappointing. Warriors stay last off the back of a big effort, but they just haven't been consistent.
Okay. Of course, if you're interested in reading up on Jamie Soward's power rankings, NRL.com is the place to do that. That's all we've got time for. Thank you so much for tuning in. Next week, we will have a Magic Round special. Until then, have a good one.